Father, we thank you tonight for your awesome healing presence. We thank you that no weapon that is formed against us, even in our bodies, shall not prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us, it will be condemned. We condemn sickness tonight. We condemn any type of disease. We condemn it by the blood of the Lamb, by the cross of Calvary. And we thank you, Lord, right now, that surely he has borne our sicknesses and griefs, and by his stripes, we are healed. Families are healed. Bodies are healed. Minds are healed right now. Circumstances are healed. Finances are healed in the name of Jesus. Satan, we give you notice right now that the word of God has gone forth to heal the brokenhearted. Father, we thank you right now for the anointing that breaks every yoke. Holy Spirit, walk through the aisles and touch your people and engraft to them, engraft to them the hidden manna of God in Jesus' name. Tonight, we're going to stay on the series, The Gates. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God began to reveal to me, he said, a lot of people do not know him as the healer. When you bring your tithes and your offerings up to the basket, you're supposed to bring your tithes and offerings, and you're supposed to give it as a thanksgiving gift. Because he is your healer, he is your provider, he is your sanctifier, he is your redeemer, he is your deliverer. And when you pay your tithes, all you're doing is helping the church pay the bills, and you're thanking him that he gave you the 90%. The Bible said he'll stretch the 90, but he asked for 10%. Now, we need to understand that we're not the cursed. Now, a curse can come upon us, and it's very important that you understand that this is the school of evangelism. So the Bible said the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to say that with me tonight all over the world. The gates of hell shall not prevail against me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I want you to, as I study the Bible with you, I want you to keep that in your mind about the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. Now, there are gates that Satan has prescribed like a medicine to prevail against you, to keep you in bondage, to keep you attracted to those gates. I was talking to a man tonight, and he was telling me that this man had backslid or whatever, had a couple beers or whatever. And I began to, the Lord said, curse the treasure of alcohol in his heart. You see, you cannot drink alcohol unless it's a treasure of your heart. You cannot fornicate unless it's a treasure of your heart. The Bible said, though a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't think about doing any type of sin unless it's a treasure of your heart. So the first thing you got to do is begin to shut the gate of sin. Sin is a gate. Now that gate, those spirits will cause you to be attracted to that gate so they can deposit certain images and idols inside of you so that you will begin to hunger for these idols and these images. If you don't hunger for these idols and these images, then they cannot have any influence on you. Because the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. The word prevail means to influence, to determine your destiny. Those gates will not determine your destiny anymore. For there has been an interruption of the pattern of your destiny called the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, behold, I have the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So when he superseded death, the Bible says he took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, so that they have the gates of hell so don't have any more power over you. He said, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your power? You have been swallowed up in victory. Now, God began to show me what he swallowed up. He swallowed up the influence of those gates. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the devil cannot even talk to you unless you're influenced by his conversation. I know many people try to call me or talk to me or send me an email. I don't even look at it unless I have some type of attraction to it. I may check it out, but then if I say, that ain't what I thought it is, and I'm not attracted to it, I just delete it out of the file. See, that's how you have to delete it out of your heart. You say, no, that's not a deposit in my heart. That's not something I keep in my safety deposit box of heaven. See, you have, your heart is like a safety deposit box. Stuff that you hide, stuff that's personal, stuff that's secret to you. Well, if sin is not a secret to you, you won't have it in your heart. That's a prevailing gate, sin. And so when you begin to see, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing the devil has against us is the deceitfulness of the sin. If we won't be deceitful anymore, Satan can't get us to sin anymore. It's the hiding of it. The Bible said, he that hideth this sin will not prosper. So hiding your sin is a gate, like gossip. Folks won't gossip about you in your face. So that's a gate. So gossip is a gate. That's something that you hide. Like stealing is a gate. Lying is a gate. And God began to show me that he is calling us to perfection. In this perfection that he's showing us, God is allowing us to see that in this perfection, there's going to be wars. There's going to be personal wars. Not just the wars with the gates of hell, but the gate of our own emotions, the gate of our own attractions or appetites or affections. The Bible says the affections and the lusts. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight God began to show me that these things have expired. If you ever go to the grocery store and you want to buy a certain thing and it says expiration on it, you know you're not supposed to buy that thing. You're not supposed to consume something that has been expired. Well, sickness has expired in your life. Poverty has expired. When Jesus rose from the dead, he expired sickness. He expired even pain. You're not even supposed to get headaches. You're not even supposed to get debt. But see, a lot of people are in debt because they are still operating in the world system. They're not operating in the supernatural system. You see, that's why a lot of people cannot believe that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Because they're operating in a system. They could be operating in the spiritual realm, but they're not operating under the blood covenant. You see, when you operate under the blood covenant gate, I want to say that again. When you operate under the blood covenant gate, this gate will begin to open your new creation in Christ. And it will begin to show you the medicines, the fruits, the powers. The Bible says, I want you to go there with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians, go with me there in the presence of the Lord to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So you know that this gate has to come from heavenly places. Say heavenly places. According as he hath chosen us in him. Now he didn't just call us. The Bible says he chose us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if there was 1 million people going for a job and you were the only one that was chosen, you know you were special. Say, I'm special. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be first holy. So holiness comes from this chosen gate. Holiness. Meaning, you see, I talk a lot about holiness. Why? Because holiness will cause you to be attracted to heavenly things. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see God. So we know that holiness will cause you to have self-control. Because many times I want to go out and do things in the night. Nobody will know. But because of that holiness gate, I begin to think of the results that I have and that what I would do to other people. And I was telling some man tonight, I said, I don't want to sin no more because I know that I'm responsible for people's souls. You know, it's easy to sin. Nobody will know, but God would know. So, you see, your conscience would know. And if you're out sinning at night, when you come to work in the morning or you're involved with other brothers and sisters that haven't entertained that unholy gate, you will cause contention with them. All day and all night, God began to deal with me, and I'll go there in a minute, with the book of Proverbs about contention. Now, if you have a guilty conscience, you will contend with other people's faith. You won't be peaceable. You cannot have a peaceable nature and a loving attitude if you are out sinning, because what will happen, you haven't dealt with that guilt. So you'll come into the atmosphere of somebody else who's coming into church, praising God. They got up that 6 o'clock and they was praying and praising God. And so the atmosphere that's in him is heavenly and peaceful and joyful and glorious. And then you'll come on the scene with your guilt. You didn't say nothing and they didn't say nothing. But their spirit will begin to war with your spirit, because your spirit is a guilty spirit, because you have sinned. Nobody knew. You had a couple beers. You had a couple smokes. You did a little fornicating. You did a little whatever. And instead of you coming to the altar, first thing you do is come to the altar and say, Lord, forgive me of my thoughts and my sins. No, you just walk in the atmosphere of God and just come in here and just don't even discern the atmosphere of heaven and other people that are striving to be perfect and clean before God. You come in the atmosphere and just come in with your little sinful attitude. And what happens? Your spirit begins a war with their spirit. And I never saw that before. That's why I got rid of some people. And the Bible shows me, if I don't get rid of them, they will continually to war with my spirit. And I'm going to tell you how powerful sin is. If you allow people to live around you with contention, strife, hatred, variance, you know what will happen? You will backslide. Because they will literally choke the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Because you aren't humble enough to deal with it and say, you know what, brother, you're wrong. You need to change. And you saw the brother didn't have any godly sorrow, which worketh repentance. I can always tell when a person wants God because they'll have godly sorrow, which works repentance. If a person doesn't have godly sorrow, they're not going to repent. I'm telling you. I know me. If I don't feel sorry for what I did, I was telling a lady tonight, you know, she said, well, you offended me. And I said, okay, well, sister, I'm sorry that I offended you. I didn't say, well, yeah, you just offended anyway. Or I didn't make no excuse. I just said, you know what, sister, I'm sorry. And I just dropped it. And I said, forgive me. See, instead of you know, somebody say you did something to them, or just say you're sorry. Don't try to make no excuse. Because what will happen, you'll never be able to walk in this power. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us according to the beloved, in whom, listen, now very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you hear me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a gate or your home that you should be living inside. Now, this is my home that I live in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever let somebody stay over your house and your house is all peaceful and glorious, and they came over to your house and just tore your house up? Come on now. And you say, I let you over here, spend a couple nights, but you don't have to fool. Huh? Can I get a witness in the house? And this is what happens with heaven. God ain't going to let you come up into heaven tearing up his atmosphere. Do you know God got a gate and a wall around heaven? He don't let anybody in his gate. He got some guards up there through some angels. He'll cut your head off. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God began to reveal to me about the bride. I'm going to go into that in a minute, because God began to reveal to me why Satan has so much influence over mankind. I'm going to show you, and it has to do a lot about the bride. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of heaven with men, and will dwell with them, and they shall be my people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Say, the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, and behold, I will make all things new. Say, all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son or daughter. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen with me. And there came up to me one of the seven angels, which had the seven veils full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The bride, say the bride. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear and crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. Say 12 gates. 12 gates. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand. I'm going to give you a revelation tonight, which is going to change your life. Say, change my life, Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, God's word is here to change your life, to give you power. God is he's reluctant to give you power, because most people to get power use it for their own self-will. But when he gives you power, he's going to hold you accountable for it. Say, hold me accountable, Lord. Watch this. And they had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, that is a revelation. I can't go into that tonight. I just want to wet your whistle. Because on Sunday morning, I'm going to talk to you about the 12 gates and the 12 tribes of Israel, and how the power of God is coming upon the 12 tribes. And you are one of the 12 tribes, because we are the children of Israel. We have been engrafted into this olive tree, and the men of this earth will see the power of God. Glory to God. Now, I want you to hold your finger there, and I want you to go to Matthew 10, verse 1. Matthew 10, verse 1. Now, I got you in the book of Ephesians, and I got you in the book of Revelations for a reason. Hold your finger there, but go with me in the presence of the Lord to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Very important. Because I'm trying to allow you to see that the devil and his power has been expired. Say expired. Expired. It is expired. Satan's power has expired. The only reason that he's allowed to use this power against us, because we're ignorant. But the Bible says, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Now, ignorant is a gate. So revelation is a gate. See, the gate of revelation always combats the gate of ignorance. The Bible says in Ephesians that he will illuminate our eyes. Why would he say that if he wanted us to be blind and stupid and ignorant? So obviously, we've been reading and listening to the wrong scripture. Or when we read the scripture, we don't read it by revelation. We need to read it by an illuminating gate. See, there are gates you have to close. There are gates you have to open. Amen. If you were standing in front of your house, I don't care how beautiful your house is, it could start raining. If you don't use your key to go in the house, I don't know if y'all got keys in your door, but, you know, this particular hour in time, we need some keys on the door. You know, who's coming in the house and take everything? Praise God. You understand? So, but if you don't use that key to go in that door, what'll happen? You just get rained upon, right? You just get drenched, soaked. Amen? So you gotta use the key. If you don't use the key to get in the door, you can't get no what's called shelter. Say shelter. Now, the word of God, as I read it to you tonight, I want you to understand that it's shelter. Say shelter. Shelter me, Lord. God's word, when it produces a benefit, it shelters you, like insurance for a car, health benefits, workman's comp. That's a shelter. So if you get hurt, if you get sick, you have some benefit. And you can get some help. Say, get some help. Now, if the world can do it, much more God can do it. So as we read the word, God is revealing to us his benefits. His benefits package as a Christian. Hallelujah. And when he had called upon him, his 12 disciples. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when God calls you as a Christian, he calls you to be a disciple first. But the first thing he gives you even as a disciple, God is a good God. Say it with me tonight. God is a good God. Amen. Watch this. It says, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you had went to school to be a doctor, and let's say, for instance, I was the head surgeon of USD, your CSD, whatever that thing is, and I'd say, you know, I'm going to pick you to be one of my assistant surgeons. Watch. Now, when I call you, there's a benefits package, right? Yeah. So this is what he's saying. Listen to me. Hallelujah. He gave them power against unclean spirits. Now, that's the first thing he did. Ladies and gentlemen, when a doctor goes in the operating room, they put gloves on. So when they're dealing with that blood, they don't get contaminated. Huh? Do you know blood can contaminate you? That's why I want to talk to you this morning about the blood gate. Because the holy blood gate of heaven is going to contaminate you. What a good contamination. Called the benefits of God. You see, when you are earthly minded, all you can think of the sickness and the grief and the pain of the devil and of the old world. But you're not in this old world no more. You are a pilgrim passing through. Amen. If I went to, let's say, for instance, I was going to India and the plane stopped in Afghanistan. Well, that's not my destination. So I wouldn't even go into the city. I don't even got to use my passport. I'm just in the airport waiting for my next flight. I'm passing through Afghanistan. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. He gave them power against unclean spirits. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the power that he gave you to cast them out. Say, cast them out. You should not have any problem in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, in your family, because you have the power as a disciple to cast out the devil. Now, if you wanted me to come on in and just, you know, put pajamas on and come on in and just live in your house, we ain't talking about that. We ain't talking about that. Say, we ain't talking about that. Okay, honey child, we ain't talking about that. No, we ain't talking about that. Come on with me. Say, we ain't talking about that. We're talking about the benefits. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, if you got a Sears card, you got some benefits with Sears. You can go up in there and charge it. Talk to me now. It depends on how good your credit is. If you got good credit, you might have unlimited buying power. That's the way heaven is. See, that's what I'm trying to get you to see, that you got some credit in heaven. Now, God has given you a little bit of credit by the blood. And then he gave you more credit with your gifts and talents. Then he gave you more credit with the Holy Ghost. He gave you more credit for the grace of the gift that is in your life. He gave you all kinds of credit cards, but now we got to activate them. You know, I done had many credit cards come to my house, but if I don't call that 800 number and activate the credit card, I can't use it. Oh, Jesus. Can I get a witness in this house tonight? We got to call that 800 number of heaven and say, activate the Holy Ghost. Activate the credit card. Oh, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, sugar now. Watch it now. He said to cast him out. So we got to activate the credit card to cast the devil out. Okay. Next thing he said, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now, sickness is a gate, and disease is a gate. Oh, glory to God. Go back with me with the revelations. This stuff gets better and better when you read it like this. Watch this now. Go to verse 9, Revelations 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven veils full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the bride, the Lamb's wife, has nothing to do with the seven last plagues. I don't hear no amens. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. My wife, listen now. She ain't got nothing to do with poverty. Because I ain't poverty stricken. And we won. Watch it now. Your kids ain't got nothing to do with the starvation of Africa. Why? Because we live in America. And if you ain't got no money, you can go to the welfare. And the welfare will give you what? A benefit called welfare check. Why do everybody want to get over here to America? Because we got a lot of benefits. I'm going to make it real plain for y'all tonight. Now let's read Revelations like that again. Watch. Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me and had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city's length foursquare, and the length is large as the breadth, and the measure of the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, don't try to figure all that out. I'm just trying to show you how big it is. It's big. All them crazy words is big. Now, I'm just trying to show you all these gates. Say gates. Okay, and he measured the wall thereof in 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like of the clear glass. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is no poverty in heaven. The reason why Christians, listen to this. No, I'll say it like this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The reason why Muslims are rich, because they come from the original country called Saudi Arabia and Mecca, which there's nothing but royalty over there. But most Christians from America, the only thing we can see as a royal example is maybe the Rockefellers or Eddie Murphy coming back to America, or Queen Elizabeth, or Princess Diana. So see, God is trying to impregnate you with the image of heaven. But you say, what's that? You understand what I'm saying? But if we've been controlled by welfare, minimum wage, watch it now, it's very hard for us to believe what God is saying. That's why the Bible said in verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the whoremonger, the unbelief is a sin. It's a sin. And most people talk about unbelief more than they talk about faith in God. Now, I want y'all to go back over that. Because if you go back over, you're going to see how rich heaven is. I don't want to build this message on that. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. Sure, praise God. And the fountains of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundations was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardox, the sixth sardust, the seven, whatever that is, carlox. I never even heard of that. That's some new types of gems. Could you imagine coming on the scene? These are some carlox. I brought them from heaven. Be like, wow. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, 12 pearls. The gate was a whole pearl. How many of you have ever seen somebody at their house, they had a gate with 12 pearls? My God, you would say, them people is very rich. Could you imagine you come to my house, I got a pearl as a gate? Wow. Man, I read this Bible and all I say is, wow, Lord, you're powerful. Could you imagine hanging out with God for one day and all this? He'd be like, come on, man, I'm going to ride you on my angel chariot. You're like, what's that, Lord? And you get on this little buggy, and there's angels to fly you around the city. No helicopters, just angels. Like, Lord, are we going to fall, Lord? How are we going to fall, man, when I made this thing? You see, that's what God was showing me today. How much faith do we have in the manufacturing power of God? God manufactured this stuff. Oh, man. Glory to God. Watch it now. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one of the pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Oh, wow. Could you imagine? You know, I had this idea, y'all. One time I want to build this house, right? And I was going to have glass floors with fishes swimming in the floor. Because I'm a trippy kind of guy, you know. I like some far out stuff anyway. And the Lord said, I can do better than you, Brian. I was like, no, you can't. I'm saying, he said, yes, I can. Read Revelations. I'm thinking, wow, a gold floor, clear gold. Wow, man, that's powerful. You know, most gold is 14, 21, 24. We think, wow, that's from pure gold. You know, we be boasting. Now, how'd you like to see some pure glass gold? See-through. Come into this gate with me tonight, y'all. Okay. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb and the temple are the temple in it. Listen to this. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. Now that's heavy. And the gates of it shall not be shut all the day. Now this gate is open. It's never shut. Now you know, if you go to the Queen Elizabeth Gate in England, it's shut. You can't get in her palace. Go to the White House and try to get up in the White House. The White House. Phew, brother, they got all kinds of soldiers around that bad boy now. Since 9/11, right? Can't get in there. Amen. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. So that is what God showed me about earth people. You see, if you have a defiled conscience, you'll never have an imagination to walk in heavenly places in Christ. Listen to this. Neither whosoever worketh abomination, witchcraft, or maketh a lie. Uh-oh. That lying gate. Here go that lying gate. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So if you were a liar, or you were an abominable, or you were, or whatever you were, whatever he said, no people can get in there. Like he was saying, defile, if you were something defiled in some kind of way, the Bible says you're forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. The forgiveness of the sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, number one, God is rich. Say, for instance, we the brokest dogs in South America. But God is rich. Say it with me tonight. God is rich. So we know we broke compared to God. But God is rich. Say it with me again. God is rich. He's filthy rich. He's holy rich. He ain't filthy because he's holy. God is holy rich. Oh, man, this stuff gets better and better when you say it like that. You know, because down here on earth we say, well, you filthy. But God said, I'm holy. I ain't filthy, Brian. Okay, Lord, you're holy, rich. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, God created riches. We wouldn't even know what a riches is if God didn't tell man, now, you name this riches. Okay. Duh. You name this healing. You name this medicine. Nobody even knew about aloe vera. Until somebody started researching aloe vera and found out the aloe vera, you can put it on a cut and the thing will make your arm like new. Amen? There's things, all kind of healing powers in different plants and stuff. People haven't researched it, so they don't even know about it. Amen? Because God is powerful. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So wisdom and prudence, consistency, pure, and every pure thought has been released, that gate has been released towards you. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people say, oh, if I would only know the will of God for my life. They're always crying. Now, here he said that having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purpose in himself. Now, you'll never know the will for your life until you know Jesus. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Say an inheritance. Now, ladies and gentlemen, If the government sent you a letter and said, your great-great-grandfather, John Franks, died and left you $1 billion, you would walk to Washington. And you wouldn't tell nobody either. You're like, what happened to Freddie? Freddie didn't come to work. Freddie will call you in the Bahamas. You'll be hearing the music in the background. You'll be drinking a little bit of, you know, whatever. You're like, Freddie, what happened? I don't know. I can't tell you, but something happened to me. He's just afraid. You know what I'm saying? And that's how a lot of Christians are. They're afraid to tell people they've inherited something. Because people are looking at them weird. Or they may want some. But they may not want to share it. You see, that stuff is so good, some Christians don't even want to share it. It's too good to be true. Watch this. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand the activity of the Holy Spirit. Like if I said to you, go activate, like I told you, I just got this visa in the mail, go activate it. Now, if you don't call the 800 number, you'll never activate it. And what does that mean? You got to speak to heaven by faith. See, that's why God did it by faith, because the devil can't do it. Muslims can't do it. You can't do it unless you have Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the faith. Think, wow, that was pretty good, Lord. Give me some more of that. Now watch this. Not only Jesus is the faith, listen, but he's the voice for you to believe. That's one of the keys, his voice. Because you're not going to believe this stuff unless you got the voice of God. You're not only going to believe that, you not can't even get up there unless you got the Spirit, because it's the Holy Ghost that takes you up into the bank of heaven to talk to the bankers of heaven. Whoa, I feel like dancing. Boom, 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 boom. Now watch now. Watch now. That's phone, just keep calling right now. That's why you're going to get these tapes, brother, and you're going to be zapped with power. Whoa, man, this stuff is wild. I've been blessed. Glory to God. That's why I can't sleep at night, y'all. I keep listening to tapes all night. I'm saying, my God, for 20 years I've been wishing God would talk to me like this. Watch now. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Watch now. You see, that's what I kept asking God. I said, why can't Muslims understand this? And you know what Jesus said? He said, unless a man be born again, they cannot see or enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says these things are spiritually discerned. I heard Farrakhan. I was listening to him the other night. Now, this guy got a devil from hell. And it's a convincing devil. If you listen to him, and if you don't understand spiritual things, you'll believe that this guy is a real man of God. Because I kept understanding, how does he have all those brothers listen to him? And God began to reveal to me the spirit of false prophets. Now see, a false prophet, the Bible said in the last days, Satan will give them power. The Bible says they will even deceive the elect if it weren't possible. Because Satan in this hour has to reveal the supernatural to people. And You can't use this supernatural power unless you're born again. And you know, it's really amazing. I've been reading this thing for 20 years and I never saw it like that. And I wondered why I couldn't activate. I was trying to activate this thing based upon the Bible I knew, not upon my born again experience. Not with the new creation, the new Christ that was given to me. See, the new Christ in you, he is the one on the throne. So you can open up all the gates of heaven because he's already on the throne. And see, he bears witness to himself. The Holy Spirit said, I won't talk about the one who's myself. I'll speak about the one who sent me. That's when you know a real man of God. They won't talk about themselves. They'll talk about Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I kept. It was like a blinder till the other night. And then instantly, God began to explode the illumination of these keys to me. He said, number one, he said, I am the key. He said, stop trying to create another key. I said, what are you talking about? He said, Jesus said, I am the key. I am the door. I am everything. He said, he even behold at the door, he's knocking at our stupid head to really see what he's saying. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would hear my voice, I'll come in. What is he saying? He'll come in from heaven and come down here on earth and come in your life. And not only that, he will cause you to walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wherefore, I also, after I had heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, verse 15, Ephesians chapter 1, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And see, I kept thinking about my calling. He said, no, stop thinking about your calling. Think about my calling. See, we keep thinking Jesus is in heaven. No, he ain't. That's why Joseph Smith deceived millions to become Mormons. Because Jesus ain't in heaven. He's here through the Holy Spirit. That's what the word says. But we've been saying, no, Jesus ain't here. That's a lie. The Holy Spirit is the embodiment of Jesus Christ. That's right. So when we get in relationship with the Holy Spirit, we get in relationship with Jesus. And the Bible said Jesus would literally translate us into himself through the Holy Spirit. And then Holy Spirit will now, there's another door, he will translate us into the Father. This is all by the Spirit. But we got to be hid in him. See, the reason why we ain't never went into the Father, we ain't never went into Jesus yet. We barely even know the Holy Spirit. So that there are certain there's doors that will unlock. See, as we begin to die to self and the Holy Ghost totally take over us, we go from this door into Jesus. And then we walking in the power of Jesus and doing the thing Jesus did. And Jesus said, okay, now he's ready to elevate, take him into the Father. Whoop. So you have went through three veils. But most of us can't even get to the first veil because we're still arguing with one another. And that's why the church has been hindered. Because of strife. Strategic gates that the devil has used for centuries to abort the mission of God to bring the church into one. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the exceeding riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to his working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Listen, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there goes the name Muhammad. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Mormons, the Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses are not in Christ. They have not been born again. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Jesus said in verse 21, far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. I never could understand that until what God revealed to me is the Mormons have power. The more Muslims have power. And they are operating under a principality power. The Bible says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth. Then he goes through all these things. But he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now, I can't understand what principalities were till this morning. Principalities represent religions. The Catholic religion has kept people in darkness for centuries. Powers. The Pope got power, brother. When he come on the scene, folks are not going to work. Rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And this all is a form of godliness denying the power thereof. It just brings you into their realm, but it denies that Jesus said, come unto me, all they that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. We talk about all these preachers. But Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light, and no one could get to the Father but by me. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That's God began to show me that tonight. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, principalities, powers, rules of darkness in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Watch. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now this gate is a spirit. You wonder why your children don't want to obey. This is a spirit. This is a principality that is called disobedience. You have to shut the gate of disobedience on earth as it is in heaven. Then you need to loose the gate of obedience on your children. Among whom also we had all our conversation in time past. Now what happens is when our children start acting a fool and don't want to listen, we start talking about it. Instead of us talking about the gates that's going to shut it down, we start talking about the gates that are controlling them. We're not talking the answer, we're talking the problem. In times past, in the lust of our flesh. God said when you talk unbelief, it is lust in your flesh. That's what controls the unbelief gate. It's a desire to lust after sin. And instead of you going to heaven and getting the answers from heaven, you want to talk about the psychiatrist. You want to talk about all this other garbage, psychiatrists and psych pills and depression pills. And we say, well, my daughter ain't listening. She won't listen to me. I better take her to a shrink. I better get her some depression pills. Well, she's running away. She's angry. Let me give me some anger pills. Well, she disturbed. Let me get her some disturbed pills. Pretty soon she got around 10, 20 bottles of pills. She whacked out of her mind. And now she whacked out of her mind. You wonder why she whacked out of her mind? Well, you got the doctor got her whacked out of her mind. And all you had to do was go to Jesus. And that's what we've done to people. We lock them up in crazy houses. Well, you're a little bit crazy. We call the straitjackets on you. They just afraid. Please, mommy, please don't call up the straitjackets on me. I'm sorry. I won't do it no more. And pretty soon that fear begins to abhor Christ in them. We wonder why Christians are dying of fear. The Bible says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, say, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now, we were controlled by a gate called dead in sins. Hath quickened us together with Christ. Now, Christ is on the outside of this gate. Save this gate right here. You're behind this gate of dead in sins. But when Jesus comes on the scene, the Bible says we have been quickened with Christ. So he has, you see, that's why the Bible says call on the name of Jesus. Because the gate that he's operating under is called the gate of heaven. And the Bible says he sucked people out of hell into himself. A lot of people don't even understand the revelation of being born again. They think being born again is just crying a little bit, asking Jesus to save them. But the Bible says when we were dead in sins, he quickened us. That means he literally grabbed us, pulled us out of hell, and made him to be one with us. He made us one with him. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you're not on earth anymore. You have been translated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is what this means. For by grace you are saved through faith. Now as you have been translated into this heavenly position in the throne, because Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God, so you're sitting on the right hand of God. Now, but you feel funny. Because now you feel heavenly, but you was just a devil before. You was just earthly and devilish and sensual. Now you're in a heavenly place. And it's weird. It's hard to move up there because you know you can't do them things you used to do. You'd be like, get me out of here. I don't want to live in heavenly places because I still want to be a little devilish too. And that's how we backslide. And the Bible said we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. We deny this death, burial, and resurrection. We deny this opportunity to be quickened with him, to die with him, to be buried with him, and to resurrect in the power of his glory. And when we are sitting in the right hand of God in him, what happens? We become the righteousness of God. Now, what happens when we thought and we were practicing unrighteousness, now we want to practice righteousness. And the devil comes and he says now, because you're still here on earth, but your spirit is in heaven. And you're connected to an umbilical cord with Jesus. And he is force feeding you with the glorious thoughts of heaven through this umbilical cord until you can grow up in him. And you can go in and out, the Bible says, and go in and out and find pasture, the Bible says. But the devil has now saw you connected with heaven. You can't see it, though, because you know nothing about these gates. And you know nothing about this born-again experience. And so now you feel healed. All the pain done went away, all the depression, all the sickness, all the sin that's been fell away from your life. Now all of a sudden you're wondering, what's going on?